I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
I think the only thing that she said was, Barb, if you're gonna have sex, just do it in the house. Don't
do it
with
a girl.
Yeah.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that promotes equality by being equally excited about gay marriages and gay divorces. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with musician Barbara Gruska about mother-daughter dykes. But first, some announcements. You know the drill. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. Write a review. Say hi. We love to see it. Oh, we just got a good review. Someone called us smart and sensitive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I look at the reviews. I love to read them. I squint.
Right.
And I scan them.
I have to do it with caution. I should make Cecilia go through and only tell me the nice things people say about me.
They've been pretty lovely lately. And thank you all so much. And if you hadn't, you know what to do.
Oh, man. Melody, what a week. I finally graduated from the hotel and went back to the house that I supposedly own.
Really? Because I'm seeing some hotel-esque curtains behind you.
Right. Back at the hotel because we were really pushing the limit on how long we could go without showering. So we got the toilet back and thought we could be back in the house, and we thought the shower would be up and going, and it was not. So we showered Monday morning when we left the last hotel and then didn't shower until Saturday night.
Oh, man.
We have
how's it feel?
I mean, the showers feel glorious. We had body wipes, and then we also got a bidet, which I'll get more into later. And
as a Middle Eastern person, I fully support a bidet or even a watering can, just washing your butthole. I fully support that. Good for you.
Yeah. So it felt like the important parts of the shower were being covered. But the one fun thing, though, was with being back at the house this week was Cecilia was walking around the neighborhood and she met our neighbor who I thought might be gay because they have a HRC, Human Rights Campaign, equal sign bumper stickers on their car. So Cecilia finally met him and is pretty sure that he's gay. So she was asking about the people who used to own the house, Anita and Dolores, and just getting confirmation about them being a couple. And he said that the house in the neighborhood used to be called the Women's House because it's just two streets. It's a very small neighborhood. So everybody knows everybody. And we're starting to pick up on like who likes who doesn't like the other people. What's the gossip? What are the dynamics? And eating it up. And we love that the house is called the Women's House and hoping that now it will be called the Women's House once again.
That's so funny. And thank you for explaining that for me, because, you know, we have a document. We have our notes for the episode. I see Women's House and I go, what did I miss in Dyke World this week?
You're Googled like on Twitter, around and I was like, Women's House.
Yeah. I was like, the Women's House. I haven't heard of this film.
Speaking of women and older lesbians.
Oh, can we finally talk about it?
We can finally talk about it. The fact that we watched The Two of Us we both watched it New Year's Eve, but it comes out this week so we can actually talk about our opinions on it. We also got to watch this Q&A.
Moderated by Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Resident lesbian straight actress Julianne Moore.
Right. I was trying to think, how do I describe Julianne Moore as somebody who has, thrice played a queer woman?
Yes.
While being very straight in real life.
There was a great moment in the Q&A where right at the beginning, she asked Barbara, the woman who plays one of the two main lesbians, you know, her inspiration for her role. And she was like, well, actually, I watched you and the kids are all right. So I really got what I needed from that.
Oh, which
you being a big old dyke.
Which part were you watching? The one where Julianne Moore sucks Mark Ruffalo's dick? Was it that part of the kids are all right? Is that your inspiration?
The cuddling in bed while they watched gay male porn.
Yeah, should have watched Ammonite, though I guess it wasn't out yet. But
yeah, I did love this actress, though. Barbara Sakawa? I've only read her name.
She was so great in this movie, and both of them were great. And this was a great example of doing a story that is about lesbians, and one of them doesn't want to come out of the closet. So we have Happiest Season, and we have this. And one of the films does it right. Because, you know, these stories do exist, so we can still tell them, but do it in a way that's unexpected, that's interesting, that's more nuanced.
Okay, this film is truly the best story about two old lesbians since Grace and Frankie. I love it so much. As of now, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for good reason. It's a gorgeous film. The way it was shot was so brilliant, too, the way he used doors. It's about two older lesbian women who live in the same apartment across the hall from each other. They're lovers. One of them is still in the closet to her family.
But they knew each other before they moved in across the hall from each other. So that was like a way for them to be close to each other and be able to, you know, spend time with as much time with each other without having to be for the other woman to be out to her family. I mean, I think it's in the previews, and the one woman suffers from a stroke and she can't talk anymore. So it plays with this whole thing of, you know, before she wouldn't tell her family, and now she literally can't tell her family that she's gay and she's with this woman, and they had plans to finally move out, move away together, live together, spend the rest of their lives out. Yeah. And it's just like a beautiful story about love. It's a sad story about, you know, feeling like you can't be your true self and dealing with sometimes the unpleasant things about being gay, but then also showing that love. And I don't know, I love seeing two. And it's not because I think older women are sexy. I do love seeing older lesbian stories of like these. of two characters who, you know, have been together for so long, and it's fun to watch like an older established couple where one isn't sleeping with the sperm donor of their children, or where one isn't spending the entire movie flirting with their ex-boyfriend from high school, you know.
Yeah. Loved that about it. Yeah. One of them didn't give a fuck about what the other one's family thought about her and really right. made that known. That was refreshing. I don't know. It was a really, it was beautifully told.
So check it out. Two of us, find it, rent it, watch it. And it's a great story.
Yeah, we'll watch that over and over while we wait for the future queer films coming at us this year. What have we got? We got our first glimpse.
Yes, as K-Stew as Diana, which is an interesting choice.
I didn't understand it when I saw the announcement. I see her now. The first few shots we got. Great wig.
Yeah.
She looks like her.
Wouldn't have expected
no.
it. Yeah, I wouldn't she have expected so it like at all. I wonder if the POV in this movie is that Princess Diana actually wasn't charismatic. But the thing it made me think of immediately was that Instagram account that was Princess Diana dressing like a lesbian.
Yes.
And they took it down because a lot of people thought it was mean or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but it was like this great Instagram of all these outfits that Diana had in the 80s and the early 90s that, you know, and a lot of that fashion is also, if you were to see it on someone today, you might think that they were queer. Some of it is like just of the time.
Right.
But I don't think it's impossible that in other circumstances Diana would have been queer.
Same. I'm right there with you.
She had dyke energy.
She did, and it's not just the shoulder pads, though we do love those.
Well, I don't know when that one's coming out, but a movie that's coming out soon that I am so, so looking forward to on you know, our biggest ally, Hulu. Hulu,
yeah,
I
really.
Believe, has officially come out as a lesbian with all of its
Hulu's trying to be my best
content.
Friend. They just put out Freaks and
right?
Geeks with all the original music, too. Thank you, Hulu.
Yes. Love it. Well, now on February 26th, they're coming out with the United States versus Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. Billie Holiday, somewhat famously bisexual. Depends on who's telling the story, because I was watching CBS Sunday Morning today and they were covering the movie and they did not have any clips of Natasha Lyonne, who seems to play her love interest
Whoa.
In this movie.
Homophobic.
Right. How are you going to have a whole segment on CBS Sunday Morning and not have Natasha Lyonne wearing those
Don't
suits?
We see Natasha Lyonne so much in the like previews and just like the press
yeah,
about
that's
it.
Why I thought it was funny.
Or is that just what's being catered to my feed? I don't know.
It's the special lesbian yeah. cut that the algorithm knows where to put it out. Maybe. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
And will not just be watching it for the gay stuff. That's just a happy bonus. I would have watched it anyway,
oh, for
but I'm
sure.
glad they're including it. What else? There was so much going on in the news this week. You know, we should mention it because we talked about her last week, that Ella Emhoff, who is Kamala Harris's
stepdaughter,
is now a signed model.
Of course she is.
So, you know what, you haulers, all you have to do is show up dressed to impress at an inauguration, and you too can be a model.
It's so funny. There's this viral tweet that was like, I knew it was going to be like this, but it still doesn't make it any easier. And it's three screenshots. One is a People magazine tweet that says Joe Biden only follows one Twitter account not affiliated with the White House, and it's Chrissy Teigen. Because he does follow like eight accounts, and they're all official government accounts and Chrissy Teigen because she asked.
Oh my God.
And then, so that's one of three screenshots on this viral tweet. The second is from the Biden-Harris like official watermarked, but it's with a paw, statement from the first dogs, Champ and Major Biden. It says, woof, 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 like through a paragraph. And then it says, translation from canine, we love it here at the White House. All the humans are petting us and giving us nom noms and just like all this stuff, right? So that's the second of the three screenshots. And then the third is the tweet from IMG models that just says now representing Ella Emhoff. So it's like,
Hey, speaking of people whose names start with E-L-L, Elliot Page.
Guys, we are How's that trying for transition? Our best. Oh my God. They can't all be gold. We are highs and lows, baby.
Elliot Page is getting a divorce from his wife, Emma, and I'm not surprised.
I know. In our Facebook group, everyone was surprised, and Carolyn came in like, wah, wah. Like, I'm not surprised. I saw this coming.
Okay, here's the thing. When I first learned about them and their age difference and how young Emma was when they got married, as somebody, Emma got married younger than I got married the first time. And I'm not saying that I was too young when I got married or anything like that, but for Hollywood relationships, there are very few where people get married at 24 and stay married. That's all I was saying. I wasn't ruining it for it to fail just to be in cool company, you know. And people want to speculate if it had stuff to do with Elliot's coming out. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. That doesn't matter. What matters is that, you know, it's something that's not working for them anymore. And it's a bummer when things don't work out, but it's also like a great thing, speaking as somebody who was better off after they got divorced. Yes. So I'm happy for the both of them.
I love new beginnings.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it was amicable because they separated over the summer.
Didn't know that.
Which was a surprise because on their Instagram, they seemed to be very loving still. Like it was Emma's birthday in November and Elliot had posted something. And then when Elliot came out, Emma was super sweet and supportive about it. So it seems like, you know, they're on okay terms. Except they said it was a contested divorce was the only
that's
thing.
That's not a good word. It's almost as if things aren't money. What they seem on Instagram, is what you're... So.
No.
it's no. Call me crazy,
Why
but
would
it
that?
Seems like things seem happier and better on Instagram.
That is so weird.
I don't know. Just
that
be mindful.
Very weird.
I'm going to start considering that.
I'll keep in mind. I'll keep that in mind. I can't even fake it. I just don't post on Instagram.
I know. What's the point?
If my Instagram posts were to reflect how I'm doing both physically and mentally right now.
Yeah, you don't want me to post on Instagram right now. So like
somebody would call a hotline for me.
Follow me, but just sit tight for when I'm better.
Just wait.
I love how last episode I was like, I'm great, Carolyn. I went up on my antidepressants, thus solves everything going on in the world. Wow. Feeling very different from last recording, but we are getting a nor'easter, and I love that as a depressed person. I know a lot of people with depression do love extreme weather. It's like you just get like a pass, like an excuse to just kind of do nothing and nothing. Like it just alleviates a lot of pressure. That's
was the pandemic not enough?
Yeah.
Was the pandemic not enough, Melody, that you also need a nor'easter on top of it to feel good about staying in?
Until I was like, oh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, okay. Because I already worked remote. Do you understand? I was like, all right, business is huge.
Right.
And then, you know.
Right.
I'm not posting on Instagram, but I will be posting on Rizzle, a new app you can download. Why? Because they're going to pay me to post on there. It's like a TikTok. I don't know. Download Rizzle, guys. New content coming there only because I'm paid. Should we just stop pretending we're clued in and reporting on Dyke World and just talk about ourselves? Like, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Good idea, Melody. The gayest thing that I did this week is, two things. First, I mentioned earlier that we did get a bidet for our toilet, and we got the one where it's like the entire seat, so that, because some are just the attachment that you put on. And the attachment, usually you can't control the temp of the water, so it is a cold burst of water that goes to your butt, and I'm more of a princess than that. I wanted the same kind of toilet experience is when I used to go to the Korean fried chicken place in my neighborhood back in the good days.
Wait, oh, I've that place right when I joined the podcast. We hung out and ordered. Oh my
yes.
God, so good. But it will give you diarrhea, and that's so good that they have that there.
Yeah, it depends on how spicy you get it. They had a toilet seat, you know, the ones that are very popular in like Japan and Korea, and the toilet seats get warm. You can pick the water temp. You can have the water pulsing. There are three different ways for the stream to hit you. You can move the stream so it hits the target just right. So I had Cecilia. I was like, Cecilia, you got to try it. And of course, she tried it when I was in there, and I wanted to see her react to it. And I believe I witnessed the bidet giving my wife more pleasure than I have. She was just really into, I know, this bidet is now problematic.
You're going to have to regulate.
It definitely hit her.
You have to regulate her bathroom time now.
I know. If she's, you know, I'm going to let her have as much. If having too much fun on the bidet is your kick in 2021, go for
it. No, this is how insecure I am. Sanction it.
Watching her use the bidet was pretty gay, and having her comment on it.
I love bidets. Thank you for inspiring
They're
me.
Great.
I do want to get one.
Yeah, see if you can get the one though. We couldn't get it at our place in Queens with the way that the water lines worked and everything, but this one it requires an outlet. You gotta hook it up, but boy, is it worth it. I'm so happy about this bidet seat. The other thing is, as I mentioned, we're back at the hotel, which means we're back on having cable TV on in the background, which means we're getting served up erectile dysfunction commercials.
Absolutely. That and mesothelioma.
Right. We're watching this one that had like a illustration of the veins in the penis.
Why?
And saying that you could have like these pulses or something sent to your penis veins to help circulation, to help solve erectile dysfunction. And at the same time, Cecilia and I just look at each other and go, ew. And then Cecilia's like, this makes me not want to have cable. And I'm like, this is pretty gay of us, just being both like so disgusted and turned off by this erectile dysfunction commercial.
Oh my God, that's so funny, because you when you said Cecilia was like, this makes me not want to have for a second I thought she was gonna say kids, because you might have a boy and it might have a penis. And I was like, hey, I get it.
Yeah, no, I'm already mentally prepared for that of like,
you know what? My friend had a baby. Oof. It's my best friend. So just my best friend. So you know why she was comfortable doing this. We're FaceTiming and she was changing his diaper and she was just like, you have to see how big his balls are. It's a 1 month infant. Huge balls.
Yeah.
So crazy. I had no idea. This is someone who didn't know her own boyfriend after a year of dating was circumcised. I've mentioned this on the podcast, so obviously I'm floored. But like, that was crazy.
No, when they're little like that, the balls are like a lot bigger than the penis.
Yeah. Maybe that. Yeah, the contrast
like
tiny.
That's penis. Yeah, that's what it is.
I just can't stop thinking in the weirdest way. Not. It's just so gross.
Baby, I'm not editing this out. This is staying in. That Melody can't stop thinking about this baby's balls.
I stop thinking about little baby Harry's balls.
What's the gayest thing you did this week, Melody?
Well, a couple things. I do have to mention that we talked about Julianne Moore ever since I watched that Q&A we got sent that Julianne Moore moderated for two of us. Got me thinking about how she's such a fucking lesbian, at least on the screen. And I went back and revisited that sex scene between her and Amanda Seyfried?
Yep.
Amanda Seyfried? I just realized, see.
You have a big crush on her. I thought you always said Seyfried.
It's Seyfried, right? Is it
I
don't know.
So.
I do have a crush on her. I've had a crush on her since I was closeted too. So it's like, I really wasn't talking about her. I'm just used to reading all these names and never having to speak them.
I didn't realize that she had a sex scene with Julianne Moore, and then I messaged
you
about it.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
it.
Like, did you
like,
know?
Did you know?
Oh, yeah. But that was like a decade ago. It was like before I came out. I was like, this is great. I saw that film.
Was that around the time that she played queer in The Hours and then also played queer in The Kids Are All Right? And then I feel like there's another one. But
yeah, The Hours was
she do it
like
three times.
2002 or something. 2003.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then like Chloe, I felt like was more early 2010s. But yeah, I watched it again. It's been some time. Love it. Still love it. I went and read an interview they had about it. And apparently they were really anxious about it, as they always are, counting down the days till they had to shoot that dreaded scene. And it turns out the director of that film was like really adamant about how he wanted it performed, that he hired these like kind of stunt, sex stunt doubles, people to come and act out exactly how he wanted it. And so he was like pointing at everything the stand-ins were doing and had them perform the sex scene and was like, do you understand? I want that to be exactly like that. And he made that very clear, only intimidating them more. And it was apparently a huge win for Julianne and Amanda that they pitched a way to make it gentler. And they were just like, the interviews are like, it was a huge win that day. It wasn't as rough and crazy as this Armenian-Canadian director who has done a lot of other erotic stuff wanted it to be.
Who was it that just came out and said they weren't going to do any more sex scenes that were directed by men?
Keira Knightley, right?
Okay.
She said,
yeah,
so it's like I saw reports that are like, she said she's not doing any sex scenes. And I was like, no. Include the whole quote on Twitter. A lot of news outlets did, included the by male directors.
Yeah.
It's just a deal breaker now for her. It's too uncomfortable. I'm sure she would. With a female director, right?
Yeah, or with Kate Winslet being the coordinator. I think, you know, again, I'm all for giving these jobs and these roles to queer people, but if you've proved that you can do the job, I think Kate Winslet also should get a fair shot to coordinate this
stuff.
She
should be a sex scene consultant, queer sex scene consultant.
Yes. I was listening to an interview with Kate Winslet when Ammonite came out, and she was in this other movie. I forget what it's called, but there was going to be a sex scene between two women in the back of a car, and they were like younger actresses, and they were really nervous about it, and it was a male director. So Kate Winslet volunteered to get in the trunk of the car and just be in the trunk, so they had somebody there for just like support and to check in and make sure that they were okay during the scene. So Kate Winslet was just like, yeah,
what?
Let me just be in the trunk while you're having your sex scene.
That's nuts. I didn't know that.
I shouldn't bring up Kate Winslet because then I get distracted and then you don't tell me what your actual gayest thing of the week was.
Okay, my actual gayest thing, have to shout out my haircut, y'all. I got the most bisexual bob. I really went in and said, can you give me a bisexual bob?
Yeah.
Did the Chinese man know what I was talking about? No. But what did he do? He was cutting my hair and he stopped and he like clapped his hands. He was so cute and was like, I love big change.
Wow, it's been almost a year since the last time I remember you getting a bisexual bob before our last Stonewall show.
I know, that was my last bisexual bob.
Yeah.
I went straight from the salon to the Stonewall show, so those pictures were fire. I double masked. I can say I've survived a Groupon haircut.
Nice.
The salon I go to has raised its prices once again, and I do love them so much. I don't know. It's like I see a specific girl there and like we kiki. I bring her like a latte. Like I really take care of her when I'm there. And I just like was feeling depressed and not chatty, like really needed a dress. I just had to chop it off. And like I'm feeling broke because I am unemployed. So I just... I took a risk on a Groupon haircut, but I love it so much.
It looks great.
So much more affordable. Thank you. I like it. No shade to, if you're in New York, go to Salon Ziba and see Chris. She's great. I just,
yeah, I mean, a lot of salons, I know my hairstylist had to raise her prices because of the pandemic and how much, like, less, you know, because usually she'd have like two people going at once. She would get like, have a color and a cut going at the same time and kind of mm-hmm. go between the two. And she can't do that anymore because of right. COVID. So she's had to raise her prices to deal with that. Well, what do you say we get into our interview? This is one I've been so excited about. Today we are diking out with drummer, singer, and songwriter Barbara Gruska, or Barb Gruska, if you're feeling fancy, about mother-daughter dykes. You may know her from her former band, The Bell Brigade. We met her while she was playing drums for her wife, Samantha Sidley, and also tagged along for the recording of Melody's first official episode as co-host on Trauma. Barb has also toured the country with some of the biggest names in music and lesbian music specifically. And we just want to let you know, initially we were going to dike out about fitting in, but then we had so many questions about Barb's relationship with her mom that we switched topics. So let's get to it. Barb, it's so great to finally be diking out with you.
I'm glad to be here.
So sad it's not in person.
Me too.
Well, yeah.
How are you doing? It's been a rough week, I know.
It's been a rough week. I'm good. My dog passed away on Sunday, so Sam and I are like, we're pretty broken up about it because she was really the best. But
I know. And listeners, you can't see it, but Barb right now is in full mourning garb. She has a black veil across her face. Just really
pretty much
going through it. Yeah.
And
no, but that's like the worst thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just sucks so much.
It really does.
Are you going to get another?
Yeah, we're going to wait. We're going to wait a little bit, and we're dog people, not baby people, so
yeah.
We're definitely going to rescue just forever. But
yeah.
My sister-in-law, Sam's sister, has a baby. She just had her in early October, and we babysat her for the first time a couple days ago, and when she came to pick her up, she was like, "Now do you want a baby?" And I went, "No."
Yeah. I mean, being like an aunt, the best thing to me is just being able to tap out whenever
oh,
you
dude,
want.
Yeah.
And then when you think like, oh my gosh, what if I couldn't tap out?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be a lot. I say this as someone who's like trying to have kids with my wife.
Yeah.
But,
really?
But I understand.
Yeah. I'm an amazing auntie. I really am.
I'm so jealous. My sister's asexual, man. I feel like that's why I have to have a baby. Because I don't want to, but I know she's not.
Right.
I want to be a gay aunt so bad.
It's so much fun. But the best part is tapping out and just being like, oh, that was enough.
Yeah.
Cecilia and I are also thinking about rescuing a dog, and she's really wanted one, but while we were living in the city, I was like, absolutely not. Like, I just don't want a dog in New York. We're always like out and about. Like, if I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and having to like go down the elevator and everything like that, like one day eventually when we get a house, we can have a dog. And I just never thought we were going to get a house. Like I just didn't think it was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Because when you live in New York, you're like, that's an impossible thing. So now she's like, all right, this was the deal. You said I could have a dog now.
I can't wait.
So we'll see. We'll see. I know. We found one.
What kind? What big, small? What?
I like small. She wants like a big dog, but I'm like, I cannot pick up poop with both hands. I need something that you can pick up the poop with one hand.
Yeah. I've got this claw thing that's really great. This claw poop picker upper.
A pooper scooper?
Yeah. Yeah. A pooper scooper. And it's like a you squeeze it and it's a cloth. And you, it's really, it's just a one hand job. Hand job. It's a. It's a one poop hand job.
Yeah, technically just one hand with that. I was talking to my dad a few days ago and he finally admitted he wants pets. I don't know, Middle Eastern parents will like never admit it. And but they're like in retirement. They're just like, what? My dad was furious when he found out I got a cat. He's like, why would you get that? Just go on the street. They're everywhere. It's like, we're not in Tehran, actually. And I can't just hang out on the street with lots of cats. And we have domesticated cats. We care about them. But yeah, I think my dad in his retirement has been so into TikTok. Like all he does is send me cute like baby videos, pet videos, babies interacting with pet videos. And so we were FaceTiming the other day and he was just like, I have decided I want a dog and I want a cat and I want them to be friends. Oh no, he said, and they're going to be friends. He didn't even say it. I was like, are you just on TikTok? Is that it? Like he's seeing all the viral videos and he's like, surely I'll get one of each. They'll be best buds. The cat's going to go on hikes. I don't know if you guys go on TikTok, but we've got some crazy adventurous pets on there.
That's amazing.
That are unique, I'm saying. It's so cute. But anyways, I'm definitely scouting the Savannah, Georgia area for pets, and it's been a lot of fun.
You know, speaking of pets and rescuing, we've got to ask you, what's the gayest thing you've done this week?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, shit. God. Everything. Everything. I mean, look at me. Let's see. What's the gayest thing I've done this week? Jesus Christ. Like, go on a walk without a bra and underwear? Because, yes. I don't know, is that gay?
Yes.
Count it. Very gay. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Babs, talk to me. Where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Los Angeles.
Oh, right. You and Sam both, right?
Both of us grew up here in LA. We still live here. I went to Oberlin in Ohio for 1 year, my freshman year.
How gay was that?
It was really gay.
A lot of people really I know gay. Went there and came out with some haircuts, is all I'm saying.
Right. I came out the summer after I graduated from high school, 2001. And then my hair was down to my butt. I cut it all off, like shaved it all off, went to Oberlin, and immediately girls started flirting with me, and like I didn't know what to do, and I was still in love with my first girlfriend from high school, and so I didn't I didn't do anything about it. But anyway, so I went to Oberlin for 1 year, and then dropped out because I was depressed, and
I did that too.
Moved to the And I moved Ohio to New York. Ohio will so do that. I moved to New York on paper to establish residency and then be able to get a scholarship to go to a music school in New York and live and work there before I would go back to school. That was what I said to people. But really, it's because my girlfriend lived... went to school at Wesleyan, and it was just a short train ride away from New York City.
Oh, so it sure was.
So I worked at EJ's Luncheonette. I don't know if you ever went there. It was kind of near the new school. And,
yeah.
I kind of couch surfed everywhere in Brooklyn for 6 months, and then it was 2002, and I found this loft thing with six of my friends in Bushwick. I think before it was really super,
mm-hmm. back then, yeah,
and popular. And I have a lot of Orthodox family in Long Island, and my grandma was still alive at the time. I was really close with her, and they called her and they were Not even the cops go to Bushwick. She can't live there. And so my family was like, Barbara, you have to move. And I was like, nope, not doing it. And then my grandma called me and she was like, Barbara, you have to promise me you're not going to live there. And I just caved for my grandma. And I was like, okay. And they were like, does that mean you're coming home? And I was like, no. And I moved into my girlfriend's dorm in Middletown, Connecticut.
I love Middletown. And by the way.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
It's great.
Lovely town.
It's great. It's a really nice town. Mm-hmm. And she would go to her classes and stuff. And you know that weird thing when you're young, like when you're out of school and it's like the you don't even go here thing. You know what I mean? Like they didn't, yeah. I didn't make friends with any of her friends simply because I didn't go there. Do you guys know, is that a thing or did that just happen to me? We're talking about fitting in. I just didn't fit in.
No, that tracks. I can understand some weird attitudes.
Right.
But anyway, you didn't submit your heart-wrenching poem to get into Wesleyan at Eclectic House or whatever the
right. Yeah.
Hipster house.
Yeah, no, that's where they all lived. They lived at that hipster house. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. went to a rock show there once. Okay.
Yeah. And then I moved back to LA after a few months, got into CalArts for jazz drums, and went there for like a year, and then dropped out to go on tour. And that's pretty much what I've been doing ever since. This was, I'm almost 38, so this was like 18 years ago.
And can you name drop some of the people that you've played drums for? Because it's quite the list.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'll start you off. Fiona Apple.
Yes, Fiona Apple. Katie Lang. Chrissy Hind from The Pretenders. Ray LaMontagne. Did I already say that?
No.
Elvis Costello.
Wow.
Jenny Lewis.
Okay. body goosebumps. Just the name sends me.
Yeah, her record Acid Tongue. I'm playing drums on that, and I toured that whole record cycle with her.
Really? Went to that show.
Yeah, well, that was me playing drums.
Cool.
Kurt Vile, Inara George from The Bird and the Bee, and Sam and I sing with the Foo Fighters. That's all my drum stuff, but Sam and I, our gig has been singing backgrounds for the Foo Fighters for the past couple of years.
And you had a band with your brother, the Bell Brigade.
Yes.
Great music.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm about 6 years older than him. When I was 25 and he was like 19, I had the band and I had written all these songs, and then he graduated from high school and he's so amazing. And I was just like, want to do this together? And he was like, yes. And we just started writing songs together and got really lucky, got signed to Warner Brothers, got a huge budget for our first record, recorded it at Capitol Records. Total dream come true. And then toured it forever, hardcore van tours, like no sleep, like scary snow van breaking down stuff nonstop. sleeping in the same bed with, you know, your bandmates, and they're snoring and probably me too, and just, you know.
Classic.
Yeah. So, and so between those tours, I would then go on these like fancy tours and stay in 5-star hotels, like as a drummer for somebody else.
Right.
And so it was like I was getting both sides of the touring thing.
Just to keep you humble.
That's cool.
Yeah, totally. And then we did a second record, did a little more touring. Actually, for the second record, we opened up for Ray LaMontagne for a year and a half, and we were also his backing band.
Nice.
So that was cool. And then just a bunch of life stuff happened. Sam had a bunch of really traumatic things happen to her, which was to both of us, and it just kind of flipped our life upside down. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to be the face. I didn't want to do like interviews. I didn't want to do photo shoots, things like that.
Podcasts.
I always wanted to. Yeah. No, that's not true.
You don't have to show your face on a podcast.
That's true. So I was just like, I just want to write songs. Yeah. I want to make records, and I'm totally down to like play drums for. I love playing drums for other people. I love sitting behind a fortress of a drum set. And so that's just what I've been doing ever since.
Yeah, and you write songs for Sam.
Write songs for Sam. Write songs for few different people so far. I've had stuff placed in movies and TV shows and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah.
Did you by chance watch Pretend It's a City on Netflix yet? With Fran Lebowitz?
I did. I think I watched it the day it came out. I loved it.
Yeah. But the thing she talks about with musicians, how like music is just something, it's like the one thing you can indulge in that doesn't have any like negative effects, and it just like makes people happy. And it's just like such a powerful thing. And like Melody and I as comedians are very aware of the difference between like how beloved musicians are.
Yeah.
And how being a comedian is nothing like that.
Definitely not.
But I will tell you though that so many musicians I know, including myself, we go through phases of like, I can't listen to music. Music does not make me happy. You know, you have to, the longer you do it, you have to keep on rediscovering your original joy with it.
Mm,
I think if you're professional anything, that's what it's like probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also do think a lot of musicians want to be comedians deep down, and a lot of comedians deep down want to be musicians. And then I remember that being affirmed in the documentary.
So right.
It's called The Comedians of Comedy? Was that what it was called? It was like Maria Bamford, David Cross, some like alt comedians went on tour opening for musicians and bands. And they're like, this is awesome. And they all talked about how deep down they wanted to. And I think they talked to musicians who had the flip side desire. I don't know. It's just something I've always thought about, because I know I played guitar growing up. I really wanted to be Jenny Lewis. and with her, it was confusing, and it still is. But a lot of my musician friends, at least too, were some of the funniest people I know or knew growing up.
I wanted to be Jim Carrey growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. Now I just picture you being what's her name, Maya on Pen 15, just like in school doing Jim Carrey impressions from Ace Ventura.
My girlfriend
just, like,
still does that.
That was so real. That was so real for me. You know, Sam went to high school with her.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I just remember she told us that. That's so funny.
And her dad is an amazing, amazing jazz drummer.
Oh, so that was like a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Erskine. Yeah.
Ah, awesome.
Because in the show, he's what, like a Steely Dan cover band drummer or something?
Yeah. That show is so fucking good, man.
It's the best.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fitting in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great show about that.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we're here to talk about. Because definitely sometimes being a lesbian or being queer can feel lonely. And it can feel like you don't fit in, and it can be like very intimidating, and everybody feels like they need to find community. And we talk about community a lot, and it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not always where you expected. And you mentioned feeling like really lonely on like the bar scene in LA, and definitely have had experiences like that before. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, first of all, I think even if I was straight, I probably would have had that same loneliness experience in my 20s in bar scenes.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a part of just, you know, I don't know, because I don't know what it would, who I would be if I was straight.
Yeah.
That would be so weird. but anyway, so yes, I found that I felt, of course, I've had experiences maybe on different tours where being the only gay person and, you know, pre-2015, like, it kind of shocks me how much people's mentality changed so fast once gay marriage became legal.
Right? Yeah.
It was like, I mean, to me, it completely normalized it, like in one, at least on the coasts or something. I didn't feel like I found my gay family until I found my gay boy family. And I think it has to do with the relief of, like, you know, going to a gay male bar and not having anything to worry about or
not anybody. Feeling pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah.
And also, I feel bad about saying this, but the amount of fun that I've had at gay male bars, you can't even compare to the amount of fun that I've had at gay female bars, unless I was like into a girl there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just was like trying to, like, you know.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So what were the girl bars that you were going to in LA?
Okay,
they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, no, not a one.
Not a one. And there's no lesbian bars. There's lesbian nights.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the ones that I went to, it was called Shotgun. I lived in Echo Park at the time. It was at a place which is now called the Eagle. Back then it was called the Gauntlet. It's a leather bar. There's always like hardcore porn playing, gay male porn playing on all the TVs. There's a huge chain.
There's a bar like that in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. oh my God, that chain link spider web. I've gotten so many bruises on that thing. Just like trying to do like a running and jumping this thing, you know? So. Yeah, that wasn't sexy, but I loved it. So I did that every Wednesday night. I did it every Wednesday night. And this was like, you know, I guess early, mid-2000s. So it was like, you know, a lot of everyone's wearing black and with the very emo or something, you know? And yeah. I never did that, you know?
So what was your strategy like when you went to a gay bar? Like, did you a gay lady bar? So did you bring like a friend? Did you go alone?
Okay. Well, the first time in the very beginning, before I had any lesbian friends, I would go with my mom.
'Cause she's gay, right?
'Cause she's gay.
Yes. So, oh my gosh.
My mom came out when I was 14, and I came out when I was 18. And so when I was 21, we would go to West Hollywood and go to Girl Bar in West Hollywood.
That's so cool.
And I was just like,
I can't get over
fucking
this.
mortified. I think I blacked out. Like, I can't tell you anything about it because I
were there other like
woman of a certain age.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I think I blocked it all out.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Did you ever see her like hook up with someone like on the dance floor or something like that? Or like were there women that you were into and then they went and like hit on your mom? Like, was there any of that?
First of all, ew. Second of all, yes. but the woman that she had a girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
So like I would go like, they'd be like, come on, go to the dance floor. Just go dance. What about that girl? Just go over there. And I'd be like, okay. And I was still like getting over my fear of dancing in public also, you know? And so I'd be like that. And then I'd kind of turn around to just like see, and they'd be making out and it'd just be like real gross.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a uniquely LA experience. I don't know if it is, actually, but something about that feels like it. I love it.
Yeah.
Would you actively, like, try to pick up women, or would you wait for people to come to you, or did you just, like, stand in a corner scared while, like, looking at everybody?
Did you send your mom?
Stand in the corner scared looking for my mom.
We should have diked out about dyke moms. We got to have you back. We were a dyke mom episode.
We can divert into dyke mom territory right now.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about anything really.
Yeah.
Well, one time I found a VHS in my mom's closet called Lesbian Love from A to Z. And I popped it in, and it was, they go through the alphabet. The entire alphabet and like do like lesbian sex moves or whatever that start with every letter of the alphabet.
Oh my God. Were you still at the age where you're like, awesome, programming to brush up on my alphabet?
I think I was like 14 and okay. I think that it was that weird combination of like so disturbed and so horny, you know?
Yeah, been there. And that's when your mom came out, right? When you were 14?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think we should officially just change the topic to like mother-daughter dykes.
Okay.
When your mom came out, did you know that you were also like that something was going on with you too?
Oh, yeah. And I was completely resolved at that point to never tell anybody ever. Like, I said to myself, oh, thank God, I am this, but I don't ever have to tell anybody ever.
No one with gaydar is going to be living 20 feet from me.
And, dude, like, I was wearing, like, shorts down to my, like, lower shins, basketball shoes, and, like, big baggy shirts, and, like, you know, writing anonymous love letters and to the girl that I loved, and, like, fucking, like, creating, like, you know, fake email accounts to, like, send her letters and shit. Like, how was I going to sustain that?
Yeah.
Without coming out.
Wait, I need to know if your mom had a sex talk with you before you were 14. Did you have a straight sex talk and a gay sex talk?
We definitely didn't have a gay sex talk because I was having sex for a year before I came out. And I don't think we had a straight sex talk.
Cool.
I think the only thing that she said was, Barb, if you're going to have sex, just do it in the house. Don't do it with a girl. Yeah.
Just do it with a girl.
Don't do it in a car. Yeah. What?
She didn't want me to do it in a car. She wanted me to do it in the house.
Okay. So it was more special or?
So.
She's been hearing about those kids, you know? A lot of kids do that.
Maybe she didn't want me to get arrested or something. I don't know, indecent exposure.
Or maybe you think, like, you're less likely to use a condom or be safe about it if you're in a car, because it's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not like maritime law. Like,
I don't know. I'm trying to rationalize, like, where this fear comes from of, like, whatever she does. I just don't want it happening in the car.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I never had to think about condoms.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys have to think about condoms?
I had to take the morning after pill because I didn't use a condom my first time ever having sex with a guy. So
when you came out, was your mom like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My mom said, she was like, I knew since my dad was surprised. My mom said she knew since I was like really, really young, like 3 or something like that. Which
Were you the one who made her realize that she was gay?
I know. Was she like, I knew you were gay before I knew I was gay?
No, because she would have secret love affairs with girls when she was a teenager. Aww. And like on the weekends, and then like go to school and like ignore the girl, you know, during the week.
Oh,
you know?
Yes. Wow.
Okay. Stuff like that.
I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
And she had a lot of internalized homophobia for the first 10 years after she came out. And so when I asked her, did you know? She was like, I totally knew. And this is what I thought when I first realized it when you were really young. Shit, she has what I have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I also feel like if I had a daughter and she was gay, my first thought would be like, is it something I did? Even though I know that's not how it works.
Was it something I did? Was I so awesome that this possibly happened?
You gotta be less awesome.
Yeah, but I think that is like something that like internalized homophobia, like whether we recognize it or not, is so ingrained that you have these thoughts of like, shit, she has what I have.
Totally.
Yeah.
But she was still going out with you to the gay bars eventually when you were like of age.
Yes.
And you got to see her in the wild.
Yes.
Did she have like? Did she date around, or did she kind of like settle with someone once she found?
No, yeah, settled with somebody. They were together for 8 years. They broke up, and then now she has a new wife. You know, she felt really comfortable at the gay bars. It was like she was so fucking happy there. It was with all of her friends who knew her as straight Jenny. That she had a really hard time with the first, you know, decade or so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was she came out to me first. She came out to me when I was 14, and the world, she didn't tell anybody else for a year and a half, even though her girlfriend was living with us.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was the only person that knew.
How did your dad take everything?
They didn't have the most, they're friends now, but they didn't have the most amicable divorce. And so I don't think that he, I've actually never talked to him about it. Like, I think that it probably made sense to him, you know?
So they got divorced before she came out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like 3 years before. And then she was with a guy for like a year or two after they divorced.
Oh.
And then fell in love with this woman who was straight and just fucking chased her so damn hard that she got her.
Wait. Oh, okay. I was going to say, who chased who?
My mom chased.
Sometimes the straight
woman.
Ones chase.
Yeah. That, totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Kudos to your mom.
Yeah.
Obviously, this woman's queer deep down.
Yeah. She's now, I think my mom was the only woman she was ever with, and she's been with men ever since and men before. But yeah.
What's your mom's like aesthetic? Like, is she?
She's very preppy looking, but she's a kook. She's a kooky cat, but she's a, you know, she's preppy. She plays golf.
Ugh, she's love a, preppy lesbians.
She's a like. This is still some internalized homophobia for her. I know that my mom, like, if everybody on the world disappeared, my mom would shave her head and, you know, dress how I dress, you know. Mm-hmm. But I guess her compromise with herself is how she is now, which she wears, like, you know, she's
does
like
she
very,
wear pearls,
like,
Lily Pulitzer.
She'll do that like on a fancy occasion, but not really. Like, she wears like really nice button-up shirts and a belt and Banana Republic or something like that. Or
yeah, yeah. Or Banana Republic lesbian is definitely a thing.
Yes, yeah. She does that, and she's got really, really bright red hair. On the weekends, it's plaid shorts, a collared shirt.
Oh, amazing.
Like a polo shirt.
Yeah, of course.
And tennis shoes, you know.
I feel like I had a roommate for a couple of years when I lived in Atlanta, and I think it was just like a different version of your mom. Like, you are describing, like, to a T, my old roommate.
Yeah.
Love it. Does she like give you advice, or do you give her advice, or
if either of us is the advice giver, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you recommend like movies to her?
Are I was just going to say, does she consume like queer media now?
Yeah. Do you talk about it? Did you talk
not
about
as,
the happiest season?
Not as voraciously as I do. But yeah, like the last thing that I recommended to her was Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Of course.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have watched it, you know, if I don't think it was on her radar at all.
Did your mom watch The L Word?
Yeah, she did. I don't know if she got through the whole thing, but like we watched it. I think I was living at her house for a short period of time, like maybe during the first season. Mm-hmm. And so we would watch it together, which was weird.
Yeah.
That was awkward.
I watch it with my mom. My mom's
really?
Like a big fan of The L Word. Yeah. And it's awkward. Yeah.
I could not.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, the first time I heard my mom talk about women in a sexual way was my grandfather is a famous composer. He his name is John Williams. He did all of Steven Spielberg's scores.
Like, that's John. Musical genius.
I know who John Williams is. That's your grandpa?
That's my grandpa. That's my mom's dad. Yeah. So one year, he was he's been nominated for like more Academy Awards than anybody in the history of the Academy Awards. So one year I was 14. It was like right when my mom came out to me, and no one else knew at this point. He was nominated for this movie called Amistad.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And he didn't think he was going to win. And so he was said to my mom, he was like, "Do you want to go and take Barbara?" And so we went, and that was the year, that was the Titanic year.
Yeah.
It was the Goodwill Hunting year, you know. So anyway, we were there. I barely have, I don't know, it's a blur, but we went. I had to wear, you know, a dress, which was always very traumatizing for me. But we went there, and we sat down, and Sharon Stone was a couple seats away from us, and my mom goes, "Whoa. God, Sharon Stone is such a fucking fox." And I was like,
"That's amazing." It's one thing for your mom to be like, "Sharon Stone's so fucking hot," but just like in person, like just a woman over there. Yeah.
Because there was four years between my mom coming out and me coming out, it was like I had to work extra hard to hide it for 4 years. So like anytime anything gay came up.
So were you just like, "Oh, I wish Leo was here so I could bone him"? Like,
oh,
just
I know. I had. I think I pretended to like. Yeah, I JTT.
Okay, well, we all did. Just these boys look like girls, and that's
right. Boys look like
Devin
girls.
Devin Sawa.
Mm-hmm. I love
exactly. Devin Sawa. Totally. I mean, Brad Pitt. I had the Legends of the Fall poster on my wall.
Yes. Oh, I loved Legends of the Fall. Brad Pitt. He was so pretty. And Interview with a Vampire, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Right.
Very into those looks.
Yeah.
Matthew Lawrence. I forgot to bring that up when we talked to Mara Wilson. I had a huge crush on Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, me too.
Because he was a Mrs. Doubtfire, right? Yeah.
Wait a minute. Anyway. Is Mara Wilson was a little girl in Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yeah. Matilda.
I'm gonna tell you something and you're gonna think I'm lying. Because everybody does. My mom had a stroke when my brother was born. A massive, massive stroke.
That happens,
And she was in a coma for 3 days. The doctor said, quote unquote, she's going to be a vegetable for the rest of her life if she survives.
Oh my God.
She ended up surviving. The whole right side of her body was paralyzed. It took her a couple years of rehab. She was in a wheelchair, was in a walker, didn't know who I was, had to relearn how to talk and think, and like couldn't understand metaphor. Like if somebody said, "I can't make it, I'm all tied up," she'd be like, "What?" Just like had to relearn everything, made a full recovery over the course of a few years. I was almost seven when she had the stroke. But anyway, it was like a one in a million recovery, and like people at like the American Heart Association like found out about it and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to make like a Lifetime movie about her. So they fucking made a Lifetime movie about my mom's stroke, and it was called A Time to Heal. And Mara Wilson played me.
No!
Yes! That's excuse so me? Funny.
Excuse me while I Google just very quick.
It's called A Time to Heal.
Have you talked to Mara about this?
No, I met her then. Like I just said hi, you know.
That's funny.
My God. Yeah, we just had her on the podcast.
Yeah.
She played Barbara Barton in A Time to Heal.
Wow.
And Nicolette Sheridan played my mom.
I had a crush on her when I was a kid.
That's so funny.
Nicolette Sheridan played your mom.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
There's
my
family goes like, I'm like fourth generation Los Angeles, like my great grandmother.
All of this is so LA to me.
Yeah.
In the best, like just like Hollywood.
Yes.
Your grandpa. You know,
my great grandmother has 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because they dubbed her First Lady of Radio. She was the most famous like radio actress. Her name was Loreen Tuttle. She died when I was three. And she was like the biggest. And she also, she was in 100 episodes of TV. She was on fucking I Love Lucy. She was had a role in Psycho. She was like a character actress and an acting coach and acting teacher.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's my great-grandma. And her daughter's my mom's mom, and she was also an actress, Barbara Ruick, my namesake.
Whoa.
A lot of old.
Yeah,
old
you can't
Hollywood
leave
stuff.
There.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting to think about having a mom who, just going back to the topic, who's also the new topic. to think about having a mom who's also queer to relate to in that way, because it's like, it's always this thing where you feel like, I don't know. It's like there's this thing with my mom where I feel like she can relate to my sister, or her and my sister can relate to something that like I will just never be a part of or never know. And I feel like my mom will never fully like understand me, even though, you know, my wife and I have spent a lot of time around her, and like she's known that I've been gay since I was 17, 18. But like, and she's watched the L Word, but I still don't think like she gets it, you know?
You're making me realize that I do take it for granted.
Yeah?
Yeah. I definitely do. I haven't thought about that. Yeah, let's call her. Call her up right now. Yeah, it is, it's just because it is what it is, but I just... While you were talking, I was imagining having a mom that wasn't gay.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of special things about it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can go, my mom and I can go into friend zone a lot.
Like, yeah.
Like we have some mother-daughter type feeling things, but mostly we're kind of like buddies. And in a good way. I don't mean in like a detached way. Like we.
Right.
Maybe that's because we're both, part of that is because we're both gay and we can kind of feel comfortable.
Yeah, you can relate on a level that some close friends will never be able to relate on.
Yeah.
My mom has very gay energy, but still not gay. And I don't, we'll never be able to relate on that. I don't know. I'm still waiting. I feel like my mom, you know, Carolyn, you feel it. My mom has a lot of gay energy.
What's that like in terms of the women you've dated? Like, is your mom like very opinionated about it, like even in a different way? Or
I thought you were gonna be like, is your mom like the prototype? Like, are you trying to find
No, I wasn't even gonna dig there. if you and your mom have the same type, if you have a type.
I think so, because like, who wouldn't think Sam was hot?
You know? Are you like, mom? Chill.
Yeah, I'm like, mom, back down. But actually, oh my god! So at our wedding, she met one of Sam's best oldest friends, and she and Sam are. She's short like Sam. You know, they're like 5 feet tall. They kind of look a little bit alike, but both Sam and I called it so hard. My mom like beelined for her and was like, "Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm Barbara's mom." and we were like, "Oh, okay. Mom likes Zoe." but I don't know. My mom's cool. She doesn't have a type.
Yeah.
She's of the three women that I've known that she's dated. Like, in terms of, like, their gender expression have been all over the board. Like,
yeah,
high femme, butch of the butch,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
like me.
And straight down the middle.
Is your mom with someone right now? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's married. She actually got married in that weird little space of time that gay marriage was legal in California, and then it
got
taken away, and then it came back.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
There are questions that I want to ask you that feel like so inappropriate.
Go!
Yeah?
Go!
Who do you think's better in bed, you or your mom?
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. You know, fuck, I bet she's really good.
Yeah.
I really do. I bet she's really good. But it's so gross to think about. But, like, I one time with her wife now, like Sam and I, like, came upon, like, some, like, masks in their bedroom or something, and like little things with feathers, and like one day Joan was like, "Oh, that's how I tickle your mommy's hiney."
Joan. Is that how Joan talks? She says things like hiney.
She says things like hiney. She when she talks about my mom, she says mommy.
Oh wow.
But I love this woman. She is fucking fantastic.
Too.
Who's better in bed, me or my mom? Fuck. God damn it. I'm going to go with me because I'm not grossed out by me having sex. I'm grossed out by my mom having
Fair.
Sex.
Fair. Yeah.
Who do you think has stronger gaydar, you or your mom?
Me.
Okay.
Who do you think is better at picking up women?
My mom.
Yeah.
Women have to pick me up. I need to be hit over the head.
Ooh, yeah. Who's higher on the Kinsey scale, you or your mom?
Ooh.
What's the Kinsey scale again? How does that work?
So a Kinsey 0 is completely straight. A 6 would be full blown, he's gay.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Carolyn's a 6.
Yeah.
Or 5.5 if we think about 90s actors, okay?
Think about Mark McGrath. No, just
I am 4.55, 4.5 around there.
Uh-huh.
You?
I'm a 6, and I think my mom is like a 4 or 5 because she was in love with my dad.
Okay.
Once she came out, though, like, did she ever dip back into the dude pool again, or was she like, oh no, like
no.
Moving forward, I'm.
Oh God, no, she would never go back.
Yeah,
she'd never go back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Same with my wife. My wife was married to a man.
Your wife is
previously.
So funny in that way. It's like I'm convinced is queer, or just like you know, or like somewhere on the Kinsey scale. But she's like, well, I'm dating Carolyn now, so I'm a lesbian. But she also, I don't think she would ever go back.
She said she would never go back, but when I met her, she said she was bisexual, but she thought she just had to say bisexual because she was married to a man. So I thought that she was, I mean, I just thought she ID'd as bisexual and, you know, would go either way. But like, I brought that up at one point and she was like, I would never be with a man again. I was like, oh.
Same with Sam. Samantha's the exact same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Allie listens to every episode. My girlfriend's going to listen to this and be so pissed off. Like, why can't you swear them off forever? Because I'll just be like, just know.
My sexuality is valid. And I'm not completely gay.
Hates it. Hates it so much. Well, I want a gay mom. My mom is gay in every way except for the pussy eating. Every way.
She's got to try it. Can't knock until you try it.
My mom's so straight that she makes those annoying straight girl comments about wishing she was gay.
Oh, yeah.
she'll be like, oh, you know, unfortunately, I'm sorry. I'm like, but she's so thirsty for the attention of men.
Yes.
To a point where I'm like, don't, it's it's really off-putting how much my mom needs attention from men. And she swears that she doesn't, but I'm like, you do. Like, I've seen her flirt with a guy before, and it was horrifying. I'm like, who are you? This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you at how thirsty you are right now, mother.
Man, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, but then also, I don't know, would I be weirded out if she was, you know, talking about Sharon Stone that way?
Yeah, my mom gets horny for girls, and that's gross. So I think we're even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mom's repressed, so I guess I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Do you have any other gays in your family?
Oh, yeah. He's my half brother, but he's my brother. My dad and my dad's wife had a kid when I was 16. Now he's 21, and he is, you can't get gayer than that. He's as gay as I am. He really is. And, you know, we had family members, like, on my dad's side, you know, the Orthodox people. We have very conservative Jews in Venezuela, mm-hmm. Orthodox in... They're all great people and whatever, but I remember when my mom first came out and then I came out, everyone thought, oh, she's just trying to do what her mom does, you know, like as if that it's a choice suck. And blah, yeah. blah, blah. And right. then boom, Eli came out and he was like wearing dresses at two, high heels at two. Now he's a professional ballet dancer.
Yes.
I mean, they were my dad and his wife, I think they were in denial about it for a really long time. He came out when he was 16 and I knew from the moment he could walk, truly.
Right.
One time he was about 4 years old and, you know, my dad would try to like get him gifts to like promote like straightness in him,
oh,
you know?
Boy. Oh.
My dad has turned a lot of corners. He's cool now.
With
that stuff. But, so he bought Eli when he was four this little basketball hoop, like those plastic basketball hoops that are like orange and blue and whatever. And I love basketball. And I was like, all right, I'll put it together for him. So I went over there and I took it out in the front yard, put it together, put the base in, put the water in the base, set everything up. And then the last step is the net. And I'm like looking for the net, like, where the fuck is the net? I can't find it. I turn around, and Eli, four-year-old Eli, is wearing the net. And
like
I just
top.
Looked at him, and he was going like this, it's my basketball skirt.
Work.
And I was just like, I fucking love you so much. And
that's adorable. That's so
man,
cute.
Man, the day he came out to me, ugh, I had been waiting 16 years. Yeah. And it was just, I just started clapping.
Yeah.
I did a slow clap for him. Sam started crying and I started clapping.
Love it.
So yeah, he's gay. We got like a gay cousin on one side, of like a second uncle on another side. Yeah, lots of gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have gay cousins, but we really don't talk about it too much.
Statistically, I have so many cousins. There's six siblings on my mom's side and my dad's side. Like, but like Persians don't talk about it. But yeah, there has to be.
When things happen and like current events and stuff, like do you, that have to do with like gay rights or stuff like that, do you go and talk to your mom about it? Or are you more likely just to like talk to Sam or talk to friends?
Talk to Sam, talk to friends. You know, my mom's on the, you know, in my opinion, the correct side of things, but she's kind of, you know, her vote is her voice, and she doesn't really talk about politics, really.
Does she have a lot of queer friends? I mean, I know you mentioned she would go to gay bars and stuff with her, but her girlfriends.
I don't know if she has any gay friends.
Oh, this whole time I just assumed she had more queer friends than me.
Yeah, no.
They've got two
friends that are gay, but they're guys. But no, she doesn't have lesbian friends.
I feel like that's a thing that like there are just like some lesbians who have like no lesbian friends or are more likely to be friends with gay guys. That's how I used to be. And then there are some lesbians who, like, all their friends are lesbians and they've all dated each other or are queer.
Or some lesbians who don't have any friends. That's very, I mean, just who are content to be at home together. Oh, wait, not just lesbian couples. My parents have no friends.
I feel like I'm all three of those at the same time.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Me too.
You know, anything else you want to say about you and your mom both being gay? Do you get matching outfits? What's the deal?
I'm not big on plaid shorts, so
that's right. We
don't,
that's right.
Yeah, we don't do matching outfits.
But do you ever see anything that's like a gay like tchotchke, and you're like, oh, I want this. Maybe I should get one for my mom too, like a mug that's like, I'm so gay I can't even drink straight, and it's like on a slant, one of those.
No, but that's a great idea. They do have like a Mrs. and Mrs. Like a wooden thing hanging in the kitchen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's Joan's move. That's not my mom's move. Yeah, my mom is very, like, basic needs. Like, she likes... The other day I was talking to her and she was like, what do I like? I'm like, Mom, you like golf. You like... you like music. And that's pretty much it. She likes golf and music.
We have a Joan merch.
We do.
What's that mean?
Have you seen Fun Home? Or
it's a sports bra that just says Joan all over it. My wife made it. She just we were listening to Changing My Major, and then she just started writing like Joan in all these different fonts, and then made a sports bra out of it. And we sell it on our Etsy shop, and only like one person has bought it.
Okay, I'm gonna buy Joan a Joan.
Yeah,
Joan
for Joan's birthday. Sure. You gotta get it.
Yeah. Wow. Great. Perfect.
Oh, man. Barb, where can people follow you on social media? I love your stories.
Thank
you.
On
Instagram.
I think my Instagram handle is bgruska, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. Yeah, actually, smart. I think I did Facebook like whatever, like years and years ago, like maybe earlier than 2008. And I think it still exists. And I think at certain points it may have been hijacked.
Oh, probably.
And I can't get into it to like cancel it because it was made with an email address that no longer exists.
Like so they're just posting about like Ray-Bans on sale, like over and over from your name.
I mean, I hope it's something like that and not something like really bad, you know?
Yeah. Not something that's going to have the FBI show up.
Yeah, totally.
And then do you get checks from Spotify if people give you a stream on the Bell Brigade? Do you get those sweet 20 cent residuals?
Oh, I got a 1 cent check on my refrigerator right now. I never cash those ones. I like to keep them.
Right?
Yeah.
I get 20 cent checks from Audible for a couple comedy tracks. I'm never going to deposit
never,
or cash
Never going to cash them. Yeah. One time I actually got a phone call saying, hey, you haven't cashed your check. Do you want us to reissue it? Yeah. And I was like, I was like, oh, the one for 47 cents. I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Could you just mail me a couple nickels?
Yeah.
Hold on, though. That's how Spotify is making all their money. They're sending out all these checks
and no
for just like
cashing
a few
them.
Cents at a time. Nobody's cashing them.
That's fucked up. And also, money is money. That's what my grandpa always said, and he's right. Money is money.
A penny saved.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, everybody stream that and
the Bell Brigade. Yeah. Yeah. Stream Samantha Sidley. Barb, you wrote the songs. I love them. I do not exaggerate. Every time I tell Sam that I'm like listening to her music, I listen like since seeing her in concert that first time, I listen to that album every week.
Aw.
Every week. It just puts me in such a good mood.
It puts me in a good mood because it was one of the last things I did before everything shut down.
Right.
Like,
right. It was the last happy memory we have.
Like, Caroline and I went to this lovely show. We saw y'all perform, and then we listened to the vinyl, like, the next morning, and then you guys came over, and it was like,
yeah,
it was
so
I think
fun.
It was my first official Dyking Out co-host interview.
It
was just
it
like,
was.
So
yeah,
you guys
yeah,
hold
yeah.
a very special place in my heart. And yeah, it was the music.
And then I brought my wife to go see Samantha the next night.
Right.
And I was trying to get my mom to fly in to see, because I'm like, my mom would love this. My mom would love it.
That's awesome. We're in the middle of recording the second one right now.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited. Thank God, I can't get enough. Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. All right, guys. Bye. Bye.
What did we tell you?
So great.
So lovely.
So fun to talk to. Add to the list of people that were just so bummed that we're not diking out and hanging out in person and not able to just like chill with afterwards, you know. But we will. We're already making virtual plans with Barb. So that's fun. In the meantime, let's get to our listener question.
Yes. I believe this one is from a patron, because I did see it come in recently. And look at that. It's at the top of the list. Let's go. I've been dating my girlfriend for over 5 years. We're both very young, but I would like to finally propose to her this summer. I have the ring and I've been making plans with her friends, but I haven't said anything to her parents yet. I've gotten pretty close to them over the years, but I'm very nervous about telling them my plans. They have made it clear that they don't want my girlfriend to get married until she's finished her degree, which is the plan. We'd just be getting engaged. But I'm still worried they'll freak out a bit and then tell her. Also, my girlfriend has mentioned that she doesn't want her parents there when I do finally propose, which is going to be hard to explain too. On the other hand, since I have gotten so close to her parents, I'm worried that they'll be hurt by me proposing behind their backs. They've done nothing but treat me as family for the past 5 years. How would you recommend talking to them about this, if telling them before is even the best option? Carolyn, I default to you, our gay marriage expert. What do you think?
Well, on our Happiest Season episode, both you and Erica absolutely panned the idea of talking. No, we panned asking the dad for permission.
That's right. That's wondering if that made the cut, because I was like, I feel like I've like gone off.
Yes, where this. I mentioned that I did in my first marriage ask, not so much ask, but I gave a heads up to the family. I called them, and it sounds like a similar kind of family situation that they would be upset had they not been clued in, because I remember after we were engaged, my ex's sister was proposed to, and he didn't tell the parents. And the mom was like really mad that she didn't know that it was going to happen, even though I don't think they should be. I don't think it is the parents' business.
I really don't.
You know? Yeah. I made that decision based on, I don't know, just thinking that I wanted them to like me more. They lived in New York. We were living in Atlanta. And I thought that that would be a way to maybe make them feel better about it, since they didn't know me as well. If they thought that, you know, I was thinking about them and cared about their thoughts, it more had to do with that. With this, if you're already close to them and if your girlfriend doesn't want them there, leave it up to your girlfriend to smooth it over after the fact if they're upset. You know, what's really important is what you want and what your girlfriend wants. So I would say, go ahead and then let your girlfriend know afterwards that you were a little bit nervous about not telling her parents, and see if the two of you can do something maybe after the fact to make them feel special and included around it.
Your girlfriend doesn't even want your parents involved on the day of. So I think she's going to be, at least she's going to think it's fine. She'll take on that.
Yeah.
She'll take on the emotional labor after. They're her parents, right? Just focus on your proposal. That's way too much to pile on to that already kind of stressful moment, right? Is it stressful?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about grad school and the timing of it, that's something that, you know, they're just going to have to deal with. And then maybe that's news better to give them after the fact. If you give it to them before, they might be like, oh, what about this? And worry a lot. Whereas if you just come to them and say, hey, we have some exciting news to share. Don't worry. We're waiting to get married until she's done with grad school. Though I always think that's so weird, man.
What? Waiting
until
after school?
I know so many people. Well, I mean, I know, I guess there are certain things to wait for, but sometimes I hear of couples that are like, oh, we have to wait for this to happen or for that to happen or for this. I'm like, What? There's always going to be something. Like, if you want to get married, look at me. If you want to get married, just do it.
If you wake up one day, I think I'll get married today. It's legal.
No, but this whole, what's the difference before you graduate grad school and after you graduate grad school? Like, why is that a thing? That just seems, like, I just think, like, 30 years ago, you know, people weren't waiting. Like, people got married while they were in school all the time.
Right. I mean, women would go to college so they could eventually drop out after they meet the man they're going to marry. That's where you went to get married.
But
I just have a weird time stacking up the expectations that come with this institution that we were never historically included in. So it's weird to kind of adhere to like antiquated things when we're taking it and making it our own.
Right.
Moving forward. Yeah. So it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around that. Also, culturally, I don't understand. I was raised by parents from a different culture. So the whole asking all that, it was like they were arranged most of the time. So I don't know. So that's why I have to default to you.
Yeah, I say don't sweat it and then figure it out with your girlfriend or fiance after the fact and see how to best approach it with them because it is their parents and she might have a preference in it too. So at least you can include her in that and that can be your first test as an engaged couple.
I can't wait to get an email like in a few days. Like, oh, well, I couldn't wait. No, we already did it.
You're right.
You dykes.
We waited 3 days too long to answer this question. Yeah. Well, if you have a question, you can email it over to us, dykingout@gmail.com. Or if you have a longer question or want to answer in video form that's private, you can go to jemi.app/dykingout. And we have a bunch of things there that you can partake in if you want one-on-one convos, advice, if you want to start your own podcast and you want somebody to coach you through what that's like starting that up. It's all available there. You can follow us on social media @DykingOut and @DykingOutPod on TikTok. You can follow me @TGICarolyn on Twitter, on Instagram.
You can follow me @MelodyKamali on Instagram, Twitter, and Rizzle now.
Really going to be pushing this Rizzle thing, huh?
Desperate times.
Thank you for listening and diking out this week.
We'll see you next Tuesday, baby.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon @thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.